us choose love so that the world will see you. Lord God, thank you so much for calling us out of the darkness and into the light. So guide and direct our every word, our every action, and every deed. In your name I pray. Amen.
You can go ahead and be seated, everyone. It's great to see you all in worship this morning. Great to see you online as well. Let's begin this morning with the text. Let's begin with the text that we have all heard, maybe in the times we've been in church, or maybe we heard it most in the Charlie Brown Christmas special. Luke 2, starting with verse 1. In those days, Caesar Augustus issued a decree that a census should be taken of the entire Roman world. This was the first census that took place while Quirinius was governor of Syria, and everyone went to his own town to register. So Joseph went up from the town of Nazareth in Galilee to Judea, to Bethlehem, the town of David, because he belonged to the house and line of David. He went there to register with Mary, who was pledged to be married to him and was expecting a child. While they were there, the time came for the baby to be born. And she gave birth to her firstborn, a son. She wrapped him in cloths and placed him in a manger because there was no room for them at the inn. And there were shepherds living out in the fields nearby, watching over their flocks by night. An angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid. I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. Today in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is Christ the Lord. This will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger." Suddenly, a great company of the heavenly host appeared with the angel, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace to all on whom his favor rests." This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Now, I admit to you that as I'm holding my Bible, I'm also looking at the screen and reading from the screen a lot more than I used to. The reason is because I've reached a certain age and I have a certain new kind of glasses, and that makes things a little bit more daunting when it's right in front of me there. And so the screen is so attractive to be able to read those big letters from across the room. I'm grateful for technology and grateful for this story, although I must say, it's a little early for when we normally read this passage. Normally, we read this passage on Christmas Eve, and we'll read it again on Christmas Eve, but we're still a little bit early. I mean, we're not like Christmas decorations being sold at Walmart in September early, but I mean, we're still early. And yet, the core text of this announcement, this story, is the theme of our series. It is the theme of our doing right now as a church family. The theme is this: do not be afraid. I bring you good news that will cause great joy for all the people. I bring you good news that will cause great joy for all the people. Don't you love good news? When was the last time you got some good news that brought you great joy? Friends, I submit to you that 2020 has been many things, but it has not been a year that's going to be remembered for all of its good news. Especially on the macro-cultural level, when we think about the polarization, the mistrust, the racial injustice, and the rising pandemic numbers that are a part of the story. We also recognize people that have lost their businesses and their jobs. Others in our city and in our church are struggling to hold on to their jobs. Our first responders, our nurses and doctors, and other medical professionals are overwhelmed in many areas of our nation. Teachers are strained to the breaking point. Parents attempting to work and help their children with their virtual learning at home are absolutely overwhelmed. And the students, well, they're doing the best they can, but they're suffering the anxiety and loneliness of trying to figure out virtual learning, or wait, is it hybrid learning? Wait, are we going back this week? Oh, wait, or is it next month? All the uncertainty that goes with all of that is a strain. And then one of the hardest pieces of the reality of 2020 is the startling lack of empathy we see around us. We even see it in the churches. It almost seems like as if the pandemic has not personally touched us, medically, economically, or through the stress of watching our children, teachers, or others go through the anxiety of this school situation. It seems like we've developed a selfishness that is scary. It's almost like as long as the stock market keeps going up, we have our health and our livelihood, many seem content to ignore the pain and even make light of what's going on in our nation and world. In a time where we need great compassion, it seems like empathy is on short supply. Now, in the midst of all of this hardship, the regular personal struggles of life have not abated. People in our congregation and city are lonely. People are losing their loved ones. People are facing significant surgeries and receiving significant health diagnoses. Friends and our neighbors are still having to decide how to care for their aging parents. Parents are still broken over the poor choices of their children. And students, teachers, and parents are still struggling with all this school stuff. Many of us, even as we smile at one another, even as we keep trudging forward, are in a persistent spiral of anxious grieving. This spiral of grief and stress causes us to lash out at others and even at ourselves. At this moment, most of us just have to admit the truth. Most of us are just not our best right now. Many of us, in fact, are barely hanging on. And yet, God's word still speaks. Do not be afraid. I bring you good news that will cause great joy for all the people. Good news. Rather than living in the fear of our circumstances, we can run to God who sent God's Son to deliver us, not from hardship or suffering, but from sin, selfishness, fear, and hopelessness. When we embrace God through following Jesus, we can live a new kind of life, a life where joy can become our daily portion, even in the midst of difficult circumstances. And I really need this good news. I need good news that will bring us great joy. Christians, followers of Jesus, are the ones that are called to be joy bringers to the world because God is a God of joy. He created us in joy. He brings forth our redemption in joy. Even as he grieves over his son at the cross, he brought Jesus back in resurrected form so that we could live life with God, and he does so out of joy and love for human beings and for all of creation. And into this world, he says to us, do not be afraid. I bring you good news that will cause great joy for all the people. And here, friends, is the simple truth. We were made for joy. Nehemiah said it like this: the joy of the Lord is our strength. The joy of the Lord is where we find our strength for living and for enduring all that we face, even in 2020. C.S. Lewis once said it this way. He said, joy is the serious business of heaven. If it is the serious business of heaven, friends, it ought to be the serious business of the people who claim that they are going there. Joy is the serious business of heaven. We're not supposed to wait till we get to heaven to get started living in joy. But how do we practice joy, especially in a stressed anxious, lonely, polarized world. With all of our regular personal angst, fears, and concerns rolled up into the mess. How do we practice joy? First thing we have to do is we have to distinguish between joy and happiness. In our culture, joy and happiness are often treated as synonymous words. But in the life of a Christ follower, these words carry very different values. Happiness refers to the conditions and circumstances in life that bring us pleasure and satisfaction. In our Declaration of Independence, the pursuit of happiness is listed as a right. We are given the right to pursue our life's satisfaction and conditions and circumstances that lead us to experiencing pleasure and satisfaction. But what happens when your circumstances do not make you happy? Are you therefore permitted or even obligated to find new circumstances that bring you more happiness? Are you allowed to leave your spouse for someone who brings you more feelings of happiness? Are you advised that when your job gets hard, do you change jobs as quickly as possible to something that will make you more happy? When your children disappoint you, do you exchange them for new children who will make you happier? Or do you attempt to manipulate them until they're doing what you want? When your church disappoints you, do you move again and again till you find the church that makes you happy? One of the things we discover in our lives, friends, it's a painful discovery, but one of the things we discover is that the pursuit of happiness is too small of a goal to live for. Because happiness is conditional. We pursue the conditions that bring us the best life of comfort, achievement, and satisfaction. And we often mistakenly equate this pursuit of happiness with what the Bible teaches, as if God's greatest dream for our lives centers upon our financial security, personal achievement, widespread approval, and ongoing acquisition. What if God's purpose for you and for me is more than happiness? What if God's purpose for you and me is to practice joy? When Jesus was around the table with his disciples the night that he's betrayed, John's version of the story gives us a lot more of the picture. We actually, in John's version, we actually don't hear the instructions for the meal at all, but we hear all the talk that goes all around the table, all the teaching that happens. And as Jesus is doing this teaching, he comes to a point in John 15:11 where he says to his disciples, "I have said these things to you so that my joy may be in you and that your joy would be complete." Jesus wants us to be filled with joy because we were created in the image of God, and God is a God of joy. He did not create the world in the way that we go to work. He did not create the world punching the time clock and saying, "Thank me, it's Friday." He didn't do it that way. He created it out of his abundance of joy and exuberance and the thrill of making things and people come alive and breathe real life. John Ortberg says it this way: "True joy, it turns out, comes only to those who've devoted their lives to something that is greater than personal happiness." Joy is not about circumstances or our pursuit of the passions of our world. We are meant to embody God's joy with our lives. If joy is about our character or our interior purpose for living, then what can we do to ensure that God's joy flourishes in us? After all, if joy is not about circumstances or conditions we create, it's about character that God creates in us, what do we do? How can we make joy flourish in us? Well, we need to arrange our days for joy in concert with the Holy Spirit. We have to arrange our days for joy in concert with the Holy Spirit. Notice just a minute ago, I said, how do we let God's joy flourish in our souls? To me, flourish is a gardening word. And that's appropriate because joy of the Lord is grown through the Holy Spirit in our lives. It's not manufactured by our effort. Joy is not a product that we perpetuate. It's a character quality that the Spirit grows in us. We see this in the well-known text in Galatians, which for those of you who have spent a lot of time in church, it's a section called the fruit of the Spirit. For those of you who haven't spent much time in church, that's all right. You can understand this pretty simply. It's not a very difficult text, but it's Galatians 5. And what we read here, and starting with verse 22, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such things there is no law. Now those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. If we live by the Spirit, let us also keep in step with the Spirit. What Paul is telling us in this writing is that followers of Jesus, we place ourselves close to the Holy Spirit on a daily basis so that the Spirit grows in us the character of God. So that inside of us, rather than the selfishness, the judgmentalism, the bitterness, resentment, and greed that naturally tend to flourish in the human heart, our heart is remade and renovated so that inside of us grows love, joy, patience, kindness, and gentleness, and self-control. So what this means, friends, is that real joy is dependent on God transforming our hearts. That means to grow spiritually, means to grow in joy. A spiritually mature person in Jesus Christ is a joyfully mature person as well. John Ortberg again says this, to Jesus, joylessness is a serious sin. Sadly, it's a sin that's not considered very serious by the church. Many followers of Jesus pass on more judgmentalism, cynicism, bitterness, and pure meanness in a month than they pass on joy in a lifetime. This is not only sad, it's sinful. We are called to be people of joy, not bubbly personalities that manufacture fake smiles. We are called to be people that have real joy rooted in our souls, and that joy extends to how we live, how we speak, how we think, and how we treat others. If we're going to grow in living in the joy of the Lord, we must reorient our lives to spend more time in the presence of God. Because in God's presence, our minds get reordered. Instead of focusing on complaint, hate, and despondency, God's Spirit helps replace our thoughts with thoughts of love, joy, and hope for the future. It's amazing how much more time we spend. It's amazing that the more time we spend immersing our daily journey in the presence of God, the more joy radiates from us. How do we become more adept at practicing joy? Start today by rearranging the soil of your life so that more time is spent in God's presence. Reorder your prayer time with God and make praying for joy your top prayer priority. Choose right now that when you wake up tomorrow morning, your very first words are going to be, thanks be to God. In fact, saturate your day in gratitude to God, because friends, joy thrives in the soil of thanksgiving. Finally, as you go through your day, stop the cycle of complaint and despondency. Life's hard right now. I get it. All of us are overwhelmed with things. And too often when we're overwhelmed, we want to blame other people for it. And before long, our thoughts and words become words and thoughts of blame. And it spreads toxicity into our hearts. And then, without even realizing it, we start spreading toxicity to others. And sadly, followers of Jesus have spread more toxicity and vindictiveness in 2020 than we spread good news of great joy for all the people. So it's time to change right now. Let's commit to spending more time saturated in the joy of the Lord. Let's make our hearts, minds, and mouths into harvest of joy. But there's something else we can do. If we're going to become fountains of the Lord's joy, if our lives are going to become joyful, we need to be joy bringers, and we need to be around joy bringers. If you're going to become a joy bringer, you need to be around joy bringers, because joy is contagious. Spend your time around people who radiate God's joy to you and to others around them. Now, that doesn't mean spending your time around people that always tell you what you want to hear. I get more joy out of spending time with my wife than I do with anyone in my life. And I can promise you, my wife does not always tell me what I want to hear. She tells me many times what I need to hear. And though there may be weeping at night because of what she told me, joy comes in the morning when I realize she was right and wise. And I learn. And hopefully I am this for her as well. Because friends, people bringing you joy doesn't simply mean they tell you what they want to hear. They tell you with love something you may have missed about yourself that you need to know. And when you discover this about yourself and are able to change it, your life becomes better. You're able to give gratitude for the words that brought greater joy to you, even if they weren't what you wanted to hear. Because friends, we all need the people in our lives who bring us joy, who can tell us the things we need to hear, because they always have our best at heart with their words rather than their own agenda guiding them. The quickest way, friends, for your joy to disintegrate is to spend most of your time around joyless people. Get around some joyful people. Get around some people that love sunsets. Get around some people that laugh. Get around some people that smile. You can still tell if they're smiling or not, even when they're wearing a mask. Get around people that are joyful like that. Get around people who've had some hard things in their life and yet still give thanks to God, and spend time around them and raise your joy. Go on errands with them. Talk to them. Grow your joy. But what happens when you can't get away from all the joy stealers in your life? What happens when you're married to, or you have parents, or you have children, or you work for a boss, or you work with employees that are Eeyores? You know what I mean by Eeyore? Everybody remember Eeyore? Eeyore's that lovely donkey in the Winnie the Pooh cartoons. He is a donkey, isn't he? Isn't that right? I think he's a donkey, yeah. He's that lovely donkey in the Winnie the Pooh cartoons who, no matter how good things are, he can find the ugly lining. One day, Pooh says to Eeyore, "Lovely day, isn't it?" And Eeyore replies, "I wish I could say yes, but I can't." What do you do if you have to spend your extended life with an Eeyore or two? Praise Jesus! Rejoice! God has given you a most sacred mission. You are called to bring joy to an Eeyore. You are called to be a Tigger missionary. Everybody remember Tigger? Tigger was the opposite of Eeyore, the tiger that bounces around on his tail, happy, joy-filled, bringing bounciness to all the world to see. You are called, if you are around persons that are chronic Eeyores, you are called to be a Tigger. Now, you cannot manufacture the joy of the Lord, but you can pray over your Eeyore. You can bring a compliment. You can joyfully and carefully point out the joyless moments and suggest a new approach. The joy of the Lord is our strength. The joy of the Lord can melt the hardest heart and the hardest life. Pray for your Eeyores. Get your friends and your family members to pray over your Eeyores and pray that you can bring the joy of the Lord rather than having your Eeyore diminish the joy of the Lord in your life. And dear friend, if you are called to bring joy to an Eeyore, remember that God loves your Eeyore and God wants to see joy established in the life of your Eeyore. So you take responsibility for getting around as many joy bringers as possible so you can pray joy into the life of your Eeyore and look for God to do an Eeyore miracle. Because God is the God who changes hearts and lives. We, friends, have the opportunity to bring the joy of Tigger, the joy of the Lord, into an Eeyore world. We have the opportunity to be bringers of joy. Some of you might have gotten one of these recently in your yard. It's a sign. It's a sign that says, "Merry Christmas. Do not be afraid to choose love. First Baptist Church of Newport News." These signs were the idea of our authentic community lead team. We have six lead teams who represent initiatives that our church has agreed are going to be the focus of our church life. And these six initiatives are ordered and oriented by our vision team. And then we have a seventh group, our administration team, who helps provide the resources so these six initiatives can happen. One of those initiatives is the authentic community. Their job during the pandemic has been tough, y'all. Because authentic community, what they do is they exist to make our building, our space, as hospitable as possible, and to make sure that every time someone gathers in this space, they experience the joy of the Lord. They are responsible for food gatherings that bring us together, for classes and groupings. They're responsible for how our guests feel welcomed and making sure our guests get gifts to go home with them so they'll know how much we love them and care about them. And in the middle of the pandemic, we can't hand anything out. We can't gather and have food together because we're doing what we can to be safe and be good neighbors. And so our authentic community team has been thinking, how do we build community in a pandemic when so many of our folks are trying to be safe? So many of our folks are people who have pre-existing conditions. How can we build community? How can we spread joy? And they said, what if we put signs of joy in the yards of our people? We ordered a few hundred of these, and they're showing up in yards all around our communities. One showed up in my yard, and every time I see it, when I come in and when I leave, I think of the joy of the Lord. It's brought joy to my heart with one red sign. made out of whatever this plasticky stuff is. Every time I see it, I think of a church family who loves the Lord and loves one another and loves me and loves my family and is praying for me. Every time I see it, I think of a church family that is feeding people, that is opening our doors to COVID testing, that is opening our place for our homeless neighbors to stay. And I think of our deacons who go out for our folks, particularly our homebound folks who can't get out, and try and spread joy to them. I think of a church family who is tenaciously holding on to love in the midst of a very difficult season when we cannot see each other as much as we want to. And this one act was a bringing of joy to me. One thing you may want to do if you have one of these in your yard, maybe you want to make sure you don't hoard the joy. Maybe you want to share your sign with a neighbor so that they know they are loved. Because friends, this sign is one sign of our church being joy bringers. How are you going to bring joy this week? How are you going to bring joy to the people in your family, the people in your community? How are you going to bring joy to your own soul? Because, friends, joy can't be found out in the world. It can't be manufactured. You can't acquire enough. You can't achieve enough to live a life of fulfilled joy. Joy of the Lord is not conditional on your circumstances. And it's a good thing. Because on some days, life's just hard. On some eras of life, everything hurts. And that's our final word today, friends. That even in the hardest day, even in the hardest moments, God empowers us to choose joy. One of the more well-loved verses in the Bible, Philippians 4:4, tells us this: rejoice in the Lord always. I will say it again, rejoice. Notice it doesn't say rejoice in the Lord when things are going your way. It doesn't say rejoice in the Lord when your circumstances are lining up. It says rejoice in the Lord always. I will say it again, rejoice. And then the words of Psalm 118 that tell us this: this is the day the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. Friends, if we are going to live in the joy of the Lord, we start today. We don't wait until the circumstances get right. We don't wait until the checking account gets full. We don't wait until our resume looks the way we plan on it looking. We don't wait until we get the right teacher, until we get the right class, until we get the right job, until we get the right house. If we want to live in the joy of the Lord, joy starts today. We can't wait until our bodies feel right, our circumstances are the way we want, and everyone is behaving the way we think they should, because this is the day that the Lord has made, and we will rejoice and be glad in it. For many of you, today is mundane, blah. Another day spent mainly indoors with those same people, or spent indoors by ourselves. This is your day to rejoice. For some of you, today is glorious. You got a promotion this week. You got engaged. You found out you were pregnant. Your first grandchild was born. You experienced God at work in your life in a profound way. You're with your whole family for the first time in a while. This is your day to rejoice, because this is the day that the Lord has made. For some of you, today is painful. You are lonely. You are scared. You're facing Christmas without family because you cannot travel. In summer, you are facing Christmas with an empty house or an empty place at the table because you have lost a loved one. Some of you are facing the next few weeks wondering if you'll still have a job or a business. Some of you are facing significant health battles that just a month ago you would not have even imagined. You are overwhelmed, and joy is the farthest thing from your mind. Today, we will be the church, and we will rejoice for you. We will rejoice with you. Our joy will be the joy of the Lord that strengthens you until you can rejoice on your own again. Because friends, even if we do not know your name, your struggle, we will pray joy on your behalf, and we will pray for your strength to rejoice, because the joy of the Lord goes beyond our circumstances. It is precisely in the joy of the Lord that we find our strength to endure what cannot be endured. After all, joy gets the final word over our job losses, over our futures, over our children, over our fears, even over our death. Do not be afraid, for I bring you good news of great joy for all the people. Today, in the town of David, a Savior is born. In Psalm 30, verse 5, we read those remarkable words. Weeping may remain for a night, but joy comes in the morning. Joy comes today. In fact, joy comes for all eternity. Oh Lord, particularly for the ones today who are overwhelmed with loss, who are overwhelmed with fear, who find little to rejoice about at all, we pray especially for these at this moment. We pray for joy to be rekindled. We pray for joy to sustain. For all of us, O Lord, we pray for the strength and the joy to be kindled in our souls so that we can be joy bringers in an Eeyore world. May we not stop until joy to the Lord is the song that rings from every space. In your name, O Jesus, we pray. Amen. Friends, as we listen and pray through our final song together, I invite you to think about how you will reorder your life to be connected to the Holy Spirit of God, so that you can experience the joy of the Lord. I invite you to reach out if you are one of these ones who are broken and hurting. I invite you to send us a direct message and just say, would you pray for us this week? We will pray. I invite you to think of how God is calling you to bring joy to the world in this season of Advent.